Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. On the job site. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially. And without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your work day. So tell your workmates, your next door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine with myself, Tass, and Macca. Macca.
Thank you, Tass. Our next guest is Andrew McKellar. Andrew is the Chief Executive Officer of the Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, and I've known Andrew for probably too long a time. Andrew, how are you?
Yeah, good morning. Great to talk to you.
Look, first off, Andrew, I wanted to, you know, recently, most recently, you know, you'd worked in Paris for 5 or 6 years, and I just wanted to give us your reflections on how government, you know, supports industry and encourages industry, say, in France versus Australia. Do you see a lot of differences, or what are the differences that you see?
Oh, look, I think there are substantial differences. I think one of the things that most amazed me when I first arrived in France, you know, we were shopping to get the kids, you know, their stationery and their supplies for school, and you'd go around to the stationery shops, and, you know, whereas in Australia you'd pick up a pen or a rubber or a ruler or something and you look at it and it's made in China, made in China, made in China. In France, I was amazed. You'd pick something up and, oh, look at this, made in France, a pen, made in France, a book, made in France. So, I mean, it's sort of surprising when you arrive there to see a very different approach to industry, and that they have certainly maintained their capacity in manufacturing and producing a whole range of different goods. Not everything in their economy works as well as it does in Australia. I think we've done a lot of things to reform our economy. We've taken some tough decisions. Possibly, in some cases, we've gone too far. And I think, you know, it is interesting to see an environment in Europe where they do still value having that manufacturing capacity in the industry, I think to a greater extent than we have emphasised it here in Australia. So I'm not sure that you can say one has got the balance better than the other, but it is a different environment. There's no doubt about that.
It is now, Andrew, where, you know, the borders are open, or a lot more open than they have been for a long time, and that has, you know, Australians to travel and Australians to come back. But the big question is, when are we going to have, you know, skilled migrants back? When are we going to have students back? And the role that those skilled migrants and those students play in our economy. And as CEO of, you know, the peak body for business in Australia, what are your views on that? And what are you saying to the government in terms of allowing that economic activity through those people to recommence?
And Andrew, also, it's Tass here. Also, what are your reflections on, you know, how business is going to move through this transitional period of opening up again? Because we are still in a bit of a transition, really, aren't we?
Well, that's right. I mean, we've seen the first steps, and I think that's certainly, you know, a step in the right direction. We're seeing, you know, New South Wales, we're seeing Victoria substantially opening up now. Of course, we've got other parts of Australia where there are, you know, still significant border restrictions in place, and they've got to, you know, plough on, and they've got to push past the 70% vaccination thresholds. They've got to get up towards, you know, 80% and beyond, which is where the southeastern states are right now. So, look, I think it is absolutely the right time in the southeast to start opening up more fully. We're seeing the first steps of that. But honestly, we would encourage federal government to accelerate the pace from here. You know, we would say that, yes, we need to be able to start bringing in skilled workers, whether that's permanent migration, temporary skilled migration, getting working holiday makers back in, and getting tourists back in, fully vaccinated, tested, all of those safeguards in place. But if we can start to bring back Australian citizens fully vaccinated, I think we can start to bring in other people. Let's not just rely on, little bubbles with Singapore and New Zealand and, other countries like Japan and Korea have been mentioned, but these are not the big source markets for people like skilled migrants and international students. So, look, we would say, let's accelerate the process from here as other states move up towards that 80% threshold and beyond, and they too should be opening up. So, look, it's I think, a combined responsibility here. I think some of the states are dragging the chain, but equally I do think there is a role for the federal government to set the pace and really be ambitious about how we begin to open up from here.
If I was to ask you, Andrew, if you're taking the pulse of the national economy and bearing in mind the support that the federal government has provided and also that state governments have provided, all the different schemes that have enabled, a lot of businesses, to sustain themselves, and some, of course, that haven't been able to do that. What do you think, for the future, we want, our economy is starting to open up again. Is more assistance needed, or what sort of help is needed from government, whether it be state and federal? What are your members saying to you for us to actually have the confidence to invest, to employ and to grow? What are they saying to you is needed?
Well, look, I think we do acknowledge the level of support from governments, state and federal, particularly when businesses were locked down. I think that's been good. It's been essential, really, to keep a lot of businesses that might otherwise been forced to permanently shut their doors. They've been able to, remain on life support during that period. Now we're getting into the phase where we can reopen. I think there is great resilience out there in the business community, and I think there's great optimism now that things will bounce back quite strongly. We've seen that this most recent dip hasn't been anywhere near as severe as what it was first time around last year. So I think there's the real capacity to bounce back strongly. Of course, we would say don't rip the rug out, while the transition is still in place. So there'll be some businesses that will take time in the most affected sectors, in areas like tourism, for example. That is going to take time to build back. They don't have a substantial part of their customer base coming back to them yet. So I think, let's manage it over the next couple of weeks and months through to the end of the year. But look, I think, we've got to take it one step at a time in that regard.
Andrew, much has been said about the way in which the range of federal government grants in particular have propped up businesses and supported businesses in this environment. But there are some businesses, of course, who actually did extremely well and continue to make profits and continue to receive handsome handouts from federal government. What's your view about that? Should they hand over some of that money back?
Look, I mean, I think this is a matter for those businesses to make a judgment, and clearly some of them are doing that. But I think, perfect hindsight is a wonderful thing. At the time when things like JobKeeper were being put in place initially, of course, there was a real sense of dread about what could happen. This was the most severe economic and health crisis that the country had faced in a century. These were extraordinary circumstances, and it required an extraordinary policy response. And I think some of the people who are here criticising the generosity of that support that was provided now. Earlier this year when I arrived back in Australia, those are the same people who were saying it should have been extended for longer.
Yeah.
So you can't have it both ways. You can't say it should have been extended for longer, but now saying, oh, well, they were paid too much. Look, undoubtedly, some companies did benefit in circumstances where they weren't suffering as much, and I think it is a matter for those companies to make a judgment now about whether or not they have the capacity to repay. If they do, they should. But I am very cautious about going on a witch hunt here and saying, you know, this was a dreadful, you know, policy excess, when in the circumstances, you know, it was an emergency and we were, you know, trying to save the patient.
I think, you know, when you run along the street throwing $100 notes out behind you, you can't complain when people pick them up.
I think you're right, David.
One thing I want to ask.
Well, I think that is right, Macca, but I think what I'm just going to pull you up on that and say there are people who are on, you know, small amounts of welfare and get absolutely hounded to pay back small amounts of money.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, like, to me, it just feels there's something inconsistent and inappropriate there.
Yeah, it is. I want to ask you, Andrew, one of the things that isn't often talked about, and, you know, when you run a business, one of the things that is really crucial to your survival is cash flow. You know, the amount of debt you have, the amount of cash you have coming in, etc. As a country, our debt, you know, our you know, let's call it the debt that the federal government has and all the state governments, and you put it all together, we have, I'm not going to say we've got a huge debt problem, but we've got much, much more debt than we've had in a long time. Are you concerned as to how we're actually going to pay this money back over the following decades? Is that something that, you know, you think about?
Well, look, one of the things I'd say here is, over a, you know, a fair period of time now, we have had, from I think really both of sides of politics, the major parties, generally a pretty disciplined or, you know, consensus approach to the need for fiscal consolidation. You know, there might be differences at the margin, but in general, the approach to that has been pretty similar. And Australia has run, a pretty well-managed fiscal position. We haven't had the same sorts of debt to GDP levels that you see in many other parts of the world. You know, where I was living until recently in Europe, much, much higher levels of debt. So those countries went into this current situation in a much worse position. We have, you know, spent some of that inheritance in order to protect the economy this time around. Going forward, of course, at some point now, we are going to have to take some tough decisions. We are going to have to go back to a situation where we reduce spending, we have greater fiscal discipline, we pay down some of that debt. We've got to prepare for the next crisis. You know, there will be another crisis when we need to have that sort of buffer in place. So I'm not sure we're quite at that point, you know, right now, but we will be in the near term, and we need to prepare for that. We need to have a debate about, you know, what's going to be necessary to restore some of that balance.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Andrew, we're out of time. I would have liked to talk to you a lot more about some of these issues, because I know that you think about them, and, you know, the in the role that you have.
And Andrew, can I just say congratulations on your appointment to this role as Chief Executive of the Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry. We hope to be able to speak with you regularly on our show and just talk about business interests and business issues.
Yeah.
Look, great to talk to you. It's been good, and happy to do that anytime.
Wonderful.
Thanks, Andrew.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.